Jeremiah 27, verse 9. Would you stand with me, please? Jeremiah 27, verse number 9. I'm going to read out loud verse number 9 and 10, and then I'll tell you what we're going to talk about this evening. The Bible says this, "Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, He shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish." Once again, if you'll look at me, notice God said, this influence by these dreamers, enchanters, these sorcerers, God said that there is, somebody's going to perish because of that. Remember, the series that we're talking about right now is destructive behavior. Tonight, I want to talk to us about the subject of witchcraft in our society. And I hope, once again, witchcraft has been turned into entertainment today. And just so you know, God says this is a very dangerous thing. And so let me pray for us, and then we'll have the lesson. Father, bless us tonight. I want nothing more than to have the mind of Jesus Christ. And you said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, Father, I yield my mind, I yield my mouth to you. May all of us yield our perception, our understanding, our ears, and even our will to you. Father, bless us tonight. We certainly don't want to suffer destruction. We don't want to be a part of the group that you warn may perish because of behavior. Bless us now. Help everyone to listen carefully and seriously. And might we be more like Jesus when we leave this place than when we came in. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. If you were listening there in Jeremiah 27:10, the warning was given about people that are involved in this list of things, the dreamers, the enchanters, the sorcerers. And God said, somebody's going to perish because of that. And then there's the destruction that we're trying to be cautious of. Folks, so you know, witchcraft in any form is a dangerous and a sinful act, and it's a very dangerous thing to be involved in. And so, and let me tell you, some of you that are a little older, witchcraft is not a thing of the past. We look back to in this country into the historic Salem, Massachusetts days, and you study history some, and you know their history would take you to that area and that time in history about witchcraft. But I've got news for you. It's stronger in America today than it was back in that day. But you know what's happened? We've become callous to it. And that, again, is because the devil and his influences, he turns it into entertainments, he pumps it into our society, so you see it and you're around it all the time, and before long, it doesn't bother you. It tends to be a part of the normalcy of society. But with God, it's not normal. Witchcraft is wrong. So we've grown accustomed to it because of Hollywood, and Hollywood glamorizes it and turns it into entertainment. Hollywood has taught it and produced it, but God never intended for this thing of witchcraft to be our entertainment in life. And so you understand, if you studied a little bit about witchcraft, you would find in witchcraft you're going to have your werewolves, you're going to have your vampires. They all have to do with enchantment. They all have to do with a lifestyle. And you'll find its roots in a handful of words, explanations, but we would call it a part of witchcraft. When we take Hollywood and what Hollywood promotes today, there's the Teen Vampire Diaries and Teen Wolf. For the longest time, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was very, very popular. I don't know if it's on television anymore or not. There's Angel and Grimm. There's Charmed and Pokemon and Harry Potter. You go way back. There's Bewitched, an array of witches and what it does. is when you hear about it, and when it's given as entertainment, and maybe sometimes it's humorous, and sometimes it's not, and sometimes it's cute, and sometimes it's not. But when you talk, when you use the term witchcraft around most people, they just get tickled. They just think it's a joke. And I don't think it's a joke with God, even a little bit. You go into a bookstore. And I'm not talking about a Christian bookstore. I'm talking about you go into a secular bookstore, and they have a section for witchcraft. They have witchcraft instructional books and novels, and they've actually got like recipe books for potions and curses and enchantments. But God says this isn't something to play with. God says it's a very, very dangerous thing. You just take the Harry Potter success, that's living proof. Harry Potter's books and movies are about, of course, a young teenage generational wizard. Harry attends a prestigious thousand-year-old occult boarding school, Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. And he is very popular today. Harry Potter teaches demon possession is not spiritually dangerous, and that passing through fire and contacting the dead and conversing with ghosts and other things from the spiritual world, it's normal and acceptable. But folks, in the Bible, God never intended for Christians to be involved with that sort of thing. There are witchcraft websites and instructional books and CDs and DVDs and movies and supply businesses and clubs. There are witchcraft organizations in which you can join and become members and grow rank. There's in state universities you can get occult training courses. And there's clothing stores and toys and games. But I just have to tell you, that stuff can be awful dangerous. And I know there's some of you going to look at me and say, "Oh, Pastor, here we go again. You're an old fuddy-dud." Yeah, I may be, but I've got a feeling that God is telling us to be very cautious of this business of witchcraft. Witchcraft is a religion, and it's a false one. And boy, do we need to be careful. Now, I'm going to give you some things that I think will help you. God does warn, and there is an element of destruction that's possible when people get involved in these things that I've been teaching on Wednesday nights. There are many stories in the Bible that deal with witchcraft and different elements of witchcraft. And I'm merely going to mention a story and give you a scripture verse or two. Maybe you want to get the CD if you want to look them up later on. I could be here all night reading you the 4, 5, 6 verses that go with each of the stories. And I'm not even going to give you all the stories in the Bible. I just know that there are stories and they don't turn out well. So you all know, when I read you a story, it's not an entertaining cartoon. It is a story where witchcraft was involved. And it turned out with catastrophe, and it turned out negatively. And I'm going to give you some examples. Janus and Jambres, the Egyptian court sorcerers at the time of Moses. And the story is found in Exodus chapter 7, verse number 11. And then in 2 Timothy 3:8, it says, "Now Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these that also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." And here is some sorcerers that resisted Moses. In other words, they turned on the man of God. And so that's a story in the Bible. You'll see the sorcery. You'll see it if you choose to read about it in Exodus chapter 7. The witch of Endor, who called up Samuel for King Saul in his hour of desperation. You could read it in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 7, 8, and 9. King Saul is backslidden, and he goes to a witch, and that witch helps him. But he should have never gone to that witch. He should have never had anything to do with that. Then there's Simon, the Samaritan sorcerer, who attempted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit from Peter and John. Now, you can read about it in Acts chapter 8, verse 9, 10, and 11. It's a very serious thing. It's not taken lightly in the Bible. Bar-Jesus or Elymas, the sorcerer who withstood Paul in Cyprus. And you can read about it in Acts chapter 13, verses 6 through 11. Paul wants to give the gospel to someone, And there's someone standing by, and God actually has to strike somebody blind in regard to that. Now, I don't know about you, but I consider that destructive. Somebody's got to lose their sight over practicing something like witchcraft. The Philippian soothsaying girl, she ends up getting led to Christ by Paul, but you can read about it in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 20. A witch basically is mocking Paul and Silas in that story. I don't know exactly how you pronounce that. I'm gonna pronounce it Skevia, probably a self-styled priest who has seven sons, tried to practice magic using Jesus' name. You can read about it in Acts chapter 19, verse 13 through 16. And I could go on and on. Witchcraft is something that is both in the Old Testament, it's mentioned. In the New Testament, it's mentioned. It is never mentioned as a positive. It is always mentioned as a negative. It never turned out good. It always turned out bad. And God said, be very, very careful. So, witchcraft is a subject that the Bible talks about. Remember, in our society, though, it's been turned into entertainment, and it's taken the evil, negative edge off of our spiritual thinking. Let me go on. Secondly, I'll give you some terms that would be associated with this thing called witchcraft. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 10, I'll read the verse to you. It says this: "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughters to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch." Now, you heard about four or five terms that are all associated with witchcraft in that verse. Divination. It's the practice of using omens or magic powers to foretell the future. An observer of times. That's someone that's superstitious about certain times. Friday the 13th, if you will. And there are other superstitions that would be included in an observer of the times. It's a superstitious person. Black cats are bad luck. Just so you all know, black cats and white cats are all equal. Red and yellow, black and white. They are all cats in his sight. You know, you break a mirror and you're going to have 7 years bad luck. It all depends on whose mirror it is. It may be more than 7 years bad luck. If it's your wife's and she got it from her mom who got it from her grandma, you may go to your grave over breaking that thing. But these superstitions don't walk under a ladder. Now, I don't think you should probably walk under a ladder, especially if there's somebody painting on top of it. But you walking under a ladder doesn't mean that there's going to be a curse on you. But you know, do you realize how many sayings and wives' fables and things like that are out there like that? A superstitious person can find some roots in witchcraft. Then in that verse, Deuteronomy 8, verse number 18, verse number 10, it uses the word enchanter. And that's one who whispers or casts magic spells. And then it uses the actual word witch. And that's someone that practices magic or witchcraft. It's a craft, actually, of demonology. It, you know, you and I, we find our strength in the Holy Spirit. A witch would find their strength in an unholy spirit. It's just the exact opposite. So that's Deuteronomy 18:10. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 8, verse number 9. The Bible says, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one." The word sorcery here, it comes from a root word, pharmakia. The word pharmakia is where you and I get our word pharmacy. It has to do with enchantment with drugs. It is the altering of the mind. And we're not talking about when you're not well. You take a medicine to make you better. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you take a medicine just because of the out-of-mind experience, that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. You are opening yourself up to something. God, remember, the word sorcery is where we get our word pharmacy. And so often in witchcraft, in sorcery, you get drugs being used because it opens the mind and that euphoria type of experience. Now, in Acts chapter 16, verse number 16, it says this: "And it came to pass as we went to prayer A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Soothsaying is another word in the Bible that's attached to witchcraft. A soothsaying is one who foretells events, and usually they do it as a business. They do it to make money. My mom, she foretold many events for me. It didn't ever cost me a penny. She said, "You do that one more time, you may die, son." And so I've watched my parents predict certain things. It was predicted I could be locked in my room until I was 18. But it never cost me a penny. It cost me a pound of flesh, but it never cost me a penny. Okay, now in Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 19, it says, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead?" Wizard, again, a wizard was someone that practiced magic. They would be very much so. The word's almost identical to the word sorcerer, which again, that is in the vocabulary of witchcraft, which is attached to demonology. Then, in Daniel chapter 2, verse number 10, the Bible says, "The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, 'There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things as any magician or astrologer.'" Now, a magician, what is that? That's one who has powers. They like to make you believe they have powers over natural forces, and they use charms, they use spells. And in this case, there was a challenge that went on between Moses and some of these evil forces when they were talking about letting the children of Israel out of captivity. Now, the word astrology, that's one who predicts personal events by reading the stars. Now, let me go on. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse number 9, it says this: "Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, your sorcerers." Now, it's talking about dreamers. That's one who predicts the future by dreams, or they say they can read your dreams. Now, I can't take the time, but when you start in the book of Genesis and you go all the way through the book of Revelation, this issue and all those items, they're mentioned over and over and over again in the Bible. They're not positive, they're negative, they're dangerous, they are part of a spirit world that Christians ought to have no part in, and God says it's a destructive thing. Now, let me give you some other words. These might not be words that would be used in the Bible. For instance, there's the word charmer, and that's one who fascinates people by way of spells. There's the consulter, that's one who raises or say that they raise others from the dead. A necromancer is one who communicates with the dead. And don't get the wrong impression. Sometimes people think that a witch is of the female gender, but that is not true. It could be female, it could be male, it could be any age person that was choosing to get involved in these type things, participate in these things, and again, it's a very dangerous thing. There are a lot of tools, if you will, elements used in witchcraft. And so you understand, these things, they're purchasable. You can get them at witchcraft supply stores. In a lot of bookstores, they actually have a little section. New Age stores often will have a section where you can buy witchcraft elements and helps, if you will. You know, I go down to Lowe's and I can get me a hammer and a saw and a screwdriver. It can help me get the job done. There are places where you can go, and on the shelves you can purchase the things needed to practice witchcraft. There's a thing called the pinnacle. It's the witch's symbol of protection and creed. They have a cloak. They consider it practical and fashionable, and it's worn by witches. I think it's pronounced the athame. It's a magical knife for casting circles and directing evil energy. A wand, used again for invoking ancient powers. And we all, you know, the wand thing is a little more popular because you see it televised. They have a staff. It aids in natural walks and has something to do with magical works. And then they have a medicine staff, and it's used again for moving psychic barriers. Magic crystals used for visualization and mind concentration. Tarot cards used as a visual guide for making decisions. The runes, R-U-N-E-S, again, used as a visual guide for making decisions about one's future. They have a thing they call the bell. It's a tool used for unleashing vibrations of the spirit world. They have a witch's wind chime that's used for monitoring cosmic vibrations, having to do with their protection. The chalice, which is used, it's a symbol for female in the witchcraft world. They have a censer and a burner that's used for creating scents that have to do with the atmospheres and the spirits in the atmosphere. The cauldron is a tool that's used for their transformation times. They have a white-handled knife, and it's used for cutting up the herbs and things for their evil potions. The pestle and the mortar is used for mixing herbs. The scourge used as a whipping device having to do with spirits and punishment. And it goes on and on. Now, may I say to you that we take it pretty lightly, but I don't think God does. Throughout the Bible, God looks very dimly on this type of a thing. Now, let me do this. The third thing I want to do is I want to talk to you for just a moment about God's view of witchcraft, and I'll show you some verses that he uses. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 12, it says, "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord." Now, what is the context there? It's talking about those involved in witchcraft, and it says it is an abomination to be involved in it. Now, so you know, when something is an abomination to God, it means that God hates it intensely. I think there are some things that God hates. I think there are some things that God hates intensely. And listen to this verse again. It says, "For all them that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord God doth drive them out from before thee." Boy, I don't think I want to be driven away from God. I want to be driven away from good things. But here we see it's an abomination. In Exodus chapter 22, verse number 18, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Now there you can see Old Testament death penalty. And that's probably why in Salem, Massachusetts, and you can read it in history, in Salem, Massachusetts, there were witches that were put to death. I don't think you ought to go put a witch to death. But I'm telling you that in the Bible, in the Old Testament, you see it. And so everyone knows in this modern day and age, the death penalty is still, I think the Bible still talks about the death penalty. Now, let me give you another passage of Scripture. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, I'm going to list some things, and I want you to notice some of the heavy sins that are mentioned when I read this Scripture. And notice, witchcraft is included in that list. The Bible says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance." Now I want you to understand something. Witchcraft is listed in that list. But so is adultery, so is fornication, so is heresies. Those are pretty heavy-duty sins. So when we look at this thing of witchcraft, we want to minimize it. And God said, don't minimize it, maximize it. It's wrong, it's evil, it's not something that we should be a part of. Now, let me give you another verse. In Acts chapter 13, verse number 6, the Bible says, "When they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus." Now, here's a false prophet, and if we took the time and we read on, you would find out that it says about that false prophet, he is called a child of the devil. And then in verse 10, which is the very next verse, it also says he is an enemy of all righteousness. And everybody just keep your eyes right on me up here, if you will. So, now, I hope you're beginning to see, God says in Deuteronomy, this system, the sorcerers, necromancers, the witches, he says it's an abomination. Then he says, in the Old Testament, it was a thing that yielded the death penalty. We see witchcraft listed with murder and adultery and a list of unrighteous acts. Now we see in Acts chapter 13, it talks about the child of the devil and the enemy of all unrighteousness or all righteousness. Let me tell you something. There are some witches, if you told them that they were a child of the devil, they would take that as a compliment. They would take that as a compliment. Just like when you ask me, are you a child of God? I'm not ashamed of that. Well, sure, I'm a child of God. Now let me go on. In Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers. So when we look at that, notice it says, hearken not. Well, what does that mean? Don't submit yourself to, don't listen to. It's talking about don't be involved with those diviners and the dreamers and the enchanters and the sorcerers, all of which are terms associated to witchcraft. Matter of fact, it goes on to say, for they prophesy a lie unto you. In other words, they're lying to you about something. Then it says, and that I should drive you out. And it talks about having them far from you. Now, in Zechariah chapter 10, verse number 2, the Bible says this, for the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain, therefore they went their way as a flock. They were trouble, because there was no shepherd. Now, here it's talking about the diviners, and it's talking about false dreams. It's talking about seeing things and lying about what they see. And the Bible says it's a very troubling, troubling thing. Now, I'm going to go on and I'm going to keep reading Scripture and show you God's opinion of this thing. In Isaiah chapter 47, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says this, but these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee, and their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Now, let me explain. You understand, he talked about the loss of children. He talked about becoming a widow, and you say, what does this have to do with? Well, it's talking about people involved in sorceries and enchantments. It uses the word perverted. It says, and you think nobody notices it, but he said, and then he said, it even gets to the point where you say, I am and none else beside me. There's a pride issue involved, but God is talking about loss as a result of these things that are involved with witchcraft. Now, oh, two or three more verses and we'll get past this. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says this, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and here we go with the witchcraft involvement, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to his word, it is because there is no light in them. So now it's talking about people involved with familiar spirits, that's the spirit world, wizards, and notice it says there's no light in them. Now, I don't know if you understand, but the New Testament says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and Jesus is the light of the world. When it is said of a human being that there is no light in them, that means they're full of darkness. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because of what? Their deeds are evil. Now, Jesus is the light of the world. Now, you say, well, how should I look at this? Seek the light. Don't seek that which is dark. Seek Jehovah God. Not wizards, not spirits. You don't need to communicate with the dead. Now, another verse. Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 6. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers, like the Philistines. And they please themselves. Now, you understand the Philistines were the enemy of God's people. And they were a very wicked race. Here, it's talking about, they're comparing the soothsayers to the Philistines. In other words, they were not friendly toward God's people. They're very self-serving according to that verse. Two more verses. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse number 17, it says, "And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger." There's divination and enchantments. Remember, those are those words that are associated with witchcraft. What's happening here? Number one, it's making God angry. God's angry about it. They've got their sons and their daughters involved. They let their sons and daughters be involved. And it makes God angry. And it actually says they have sold themselves to do evil. There's a rock group called Black Sabbath. Any of you ever heard of the rock group named Black Sabbath? You know, they had a song called "We Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll." That you find its roots in demonology and wicked and vile. Parents, protect your kids. Don't let them get involved in this stuff. You say it's just cute entertainment. I'm sure there are many parents that thought that and found out their kids were involved in things that were very, very dangerous. It'll mess your child's attitude up. It'll mess your child's spirit up. Another verse, Malachi chapter 3, verse number 5. It says, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerers." God said there'll be judgment with the sorcerers. God will be a witness against the sorcerers. Okay, this is what we've said so far. This thing of witchcraft, according to the Bible, it's a destructive behavior. I gave you lots of stories in the Bible about witchcraft. I gave you a bunch of terms. I gave you a series of terms found in the Bible that describe it. And then I gave you some that are not found in the Bible that are associated with modern day witchcraft. We've looked at God's point of view. We've looked at Deuteronomy 18:12 and Exodus 22:18 and Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 and Acts 13:6 and Jeremiah 27:9, Zechariah 10:2, Isaiah 47:9, Isaiah 8:19, Isaiah 2:6, 2 Kings 17:17 and Malachi 3:5. And I cut it short because you all get bored with it. I give you too much scripture. You go into overload. But I don't have any problem proving my point. Jeff Owens is not preaching Owensology tonight. I'm telling you what the Bible says about this thing. And remember when we started, I said, don't take it too lightly now. And I'll promise you, there's somebody sitting here saying, "Oh, you're making too big of a deal of it." I've not even touched the surface about what God says about it. God takes it as a pretty serious thing. You say, well, what should we do in regard to this issue? Well, Jeremiah 27:9 says, "Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to the sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon." God is saying, take it seriously. It's not a game. Don't have a casual attitude. And he said, hearken not. Don't submit yourself. Don't be influenced by it. So, here's some things that I think would very practically help you. I wouldn't get involved in astrology. If you like the stars, go look at the stars. I like looking at the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, but I can just come to church and look at the congregation and look at a bunch of dips. But astrology, if you think that you're going to get guidance from those stars, you better look past the stars and get your guidance from the Heavenly Father. But nature, as we would call it, is not to lead you. The Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God will lead you. Tarot cards, you don't want anything to do with them. Young people, I would never experiment. I would never play. Witchcraft video games, I think, are dangerous for you. Drugs are always dangerous. If they're not by prescription and by the doctor's way of taking them, watch out. Remember, the word witchcraft and sorcerer, it comes from that root word, formicia. You better watch the shows about witchcraft. Ouija boards are not a good thing for you to be involved in. You don't need a Lucky Charm. You say, but I love that cereal. I'm not talking about the cereal now. You don't need to go see a psychic, and you don't need a horoscope, and you don't need to go see a witch doctor, and you don't need to be involved in a seance. You know, there are actually, in this nation, there are people that play with voodoo dolls, and there's palm reading, and occult practice, and the contacting of the dead. I just say this, and again, I wish I had time to develop it. I don't want you to take it too lightly. Don't open your mind to those things. Do not open your mind to those things. There's one thing that you are to submit your mind to, and that is the Holy Ghost of God, the Word of God, the God of the Word. That's what you submit to. Opening your mind and your life and your will to those things is a bad thing to do. It might even be a good idea for some of you to reconsider how deeply involved you get involved. You'd even take Halloween. You can get way too deeply involved to the point that it's sinful. So I would be very careful. Harry Potter is not to be your child's hero. And you say, well, they are. Well, why not Charles Haddon Spurgeon? See, my child doesn't even know who that is. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad that our child would lift up Harry Potter as a hero, but our children don't even know the great preachers of history? There's got to be something wrong with that, if for no other reason, just the absence of the right role models in life. Look, if you're involved in witchcraft in any way, get out of it. If you're not saved, get saved. Listen. Never get involved with the conjuring up of demons. Keep yourself close to God. Well, I want to stop. I'm just going to give you one more verse and I'll be done. I sometimes, as I teach, I feel like a voice crying in the wilderness. But I'll keep crying because this is the Word of God. But I want to warn you about something. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 23, do you know what God associates rebellion with? Listen to this. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I think we should be careful being rebellious. Young people, don't be rebellious against mom and dad. Adults, don't be rebellious against your God. Well, Jeremiah 27:9 said, "Therefore, hearken not to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers." And in verse 10, he said, "Ye shall perish as a result of that association." You say, "Well, Pastor, you know, you just take it too seriously and you're trying to take our fun away." Yeah, you can say that if you want. I want you to enjoy life, and I don't want you to be hurt in your enjoyment. And folks, the devil's pretty slick. He's pretty sly. I've watched him change our country. Pay attention. There are a couple of teenagers. Just need to pay attention. If you can't, I don't want to call you down and embarrass you, but you just need to pay attention. Listen, the devil has changed our country in such a sly way. Little here, little there. And here's what he does. He, a little at a time, takes the edge off of the wickedness and the sin in our thinking, to the point that we're sitting around laughing at what God used to throw a fit about. And we're just entertained. We become calloused. We become numb to it. So we go neutral. You start out, you're against it. He moves you into neutral. And before long, you'll be going along with it. Be careful. It's a dangerous thing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. Be careful, young people. Watch what you use for entertainment. And I've not tried to be mean to anybody. I've not tried to be mean to you. I don't think you ought to go out and be mean to some witch or something like that. But I do need to teach you the truth about it. I think it's something that Christians should not be involved in. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I wish you'd come and get born again. If you're here tonight and you dabble in these things, I'd run from it. Oh, run from it. Run from wrong. Run from wrong. I have my head bowed, I have my eyes closed. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I need to be a little more cautious of that right there. I've been challenged. It scares me a little bit, but God helping me, I want to do a little better about my association, involvement, or being influenced by these things that the Bible very obviously point out as negatives for the Christian. Would you raise your hand, let God see it, and say, I need to be a little careful with it. I need to change some things maybe. You may put your hands down with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, we certainly invite you to come and spend a moment at this altar. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Ushers, you be ready with the prayer bulletin. We'll use them in just a moment. Zombie world finds its roots in the spirit world. I'd be careful. I'd say, Pastor, again, there you go, just showing you're outdated and just showing you don't understand. You know, I really don't think I have to understand today to understand the Bible.